All right, there we go. Hopefully that song comes through better than it did on this side, because wow, I had this is not a shot whatsoever, but the way that song about Boston went, kind of helped summarize the way it went for him in the Stanley Cup. But we'll get to that in a minute. This is, of course, Sports Club Special Edition Board Check. We have pushed into this as well. I do want to make a programming note. I will get to that in a second. Sports Club Board Check called Misdirection. Stan, I think you guys will kind of understand where I'm going with that. It's also a quote from one of my favorite movies. If you know that movie, feel free to send it in, or let me know next time you see me, because I always see that, A, you guys pay attention and listen, which I know you do, and B, that you guys know your movie. The tons we're going to get into, we're going to talk NBA, because, of course, their Game 6 is tonight, with all the developments that happened in Game 5 there, that have pretty much... it's kind of overshadowed the overall playoffs in general, especially the finals. But I'm gonna give somebody their due for sure. Also gonna talk some NFL. Got some Women's World Cup, the obvious elephant in the room there. I'll tell you what I think about that. Really a couple weeks worth of stuff that we're gonna get into, just because. Wasn't able to do the show last week, and one of the main reasons I was not able to do that is because Friday night in my hometown of Dallas, Georgia, of course, they did the Run with the Badges 5K, and by the time I was able to kind of get done with what I was doing Thursday with a lot of my prep for the race on Friday, and just overall making sure I was ready to go for that, we weren't going to have enough time to give it its due, so we just combined it into 2 weeks. But programming note, for the next couple weeks, I'm not sure how much longer we'll do Board Check before taking the summer break. But we will continue to talk hockey as things develop, but probably up until the draft or so. We'll probably keep doing Board Check up until then, then take the summer break and jump back into it maybe September-ish. You never know. Sometimes I start it early. But we will continue to do Sports Club. And like I said, anything hockey-related that does come up, we'll definitely cover in Sports Club. But before we get into a whole lot of the other things and the big things people have been talking about in the last couple of weeks, I want to first off say congratulations to Kelly Cup winners, the Newfoundland Growlers, who won the ECHL title. I want to say congratulations to the Charlotte Checkers, who won the Calder Cup at the AHL. For those who may be new or may not know this, AHL is kind of like AAA level, even though it's still professional. It's the best way to put it. It's really not AAA. It's really still top-notch, and so is the ECHL, which is kind of like AA to a point. But that's just, it's kind of like half-level in hockey, as opposed to in baseball, it can be all over the place. But congratulations to the Charlotte Checkers and the Newfoundland Growlers. Newfoundland, this is their first year, and they just smoked everybody. You know? You load up and smoke them if you got them, as I like to say. But I want to talk about the Stanley Cup Finals. And yes, I swapped over to an old theme we've used before, shipping up to Boston by the Dropkick Murphys, part in a little bit of a tribute to the city of Boston. They get a bad rep, and you guys know that a lot of my teams across many of the sports platforms are big-time rivals of Boston, but I always respect the fans, I always respect the cities and the organizations and definitely a lot of the players. So, I never have any real ill will towards Boston, just on occasional days I've made cheer against them. Not this entire Stanley Cup, and you guys know that much for the Stanley Cup Finals and the semifinals. Conference Finals, basically. I've thought Boston was going to win this thing. I thought they were the best team. I still, to this to this that very moment, right now, 8:06 p.m. on a Thursday, outside the metro area of Atlanta. I stand right here and say I still think the Boston Bruins were the most complete, better team. And yet the Blues did what the Blues did all year long. They had the goldfish memory. They didn't let one moment get them down. If they got, you know, because they were on the receiving end of the bad call with the hand pass where they lost the game against the Sharks. And Berube come out and just said, you know what, you just got to move past it. There's nothing you can do about it. And they did. Anytime they were dealt a bad hand, they knew when to hold them, knew when to fold them, knew when to walk away. And it just, no matter what Boston threw at them last night, it just seemed like St. Louis either had an answer or was already ahead of the move. And they played with a adrenaline-filled tenacity. Just, you know, I'm not going to say played with heart, because both teams played with a lot of it. There's no, it's not like you tip the scale, the justice scales here and say, well, they had more heart. Or, well, they, no, both of these teams played 100%. It just so happened that by the time a few bounces went the direction of the Blues, and then these are not excuses. Things like this happen. There's a reason why it's not a perfectly round piece of rubber that they put around the ice. There's a reason why it's not a perfectly round ball that they play American football with. Because sometimes a chip in the ice causes it to bounce this way or that. Sometimes it hits a skate. Sometimes it's just a shot. Sometimes the goalie just didn't see it. Not his fault. Because if you ask me right now, all year long I've been saying Tuukka Rask is a top 10 goaltender. In the playoffs, I would say he's a top 5 goaltender. After the Stanley Cup Finals, I think you got to put him as number 1 or number 2. And Bennington is not the other one in the conversation. I would put him 3rd. But Tarasque, just at times he kept busting in it, and at times he was another driving force on top of the great things they were doing. So many great players on both these teams. You know, obviously the local Atlanta Gladiators are the affiliate of the Boston Bruins. I believe they become Predators affiliates next year. But, you know, tons of good stuff and nothing but things to say about the Bruins and the class organization. Unfortunately, only one team can win because, gosh, Boston deserved it too. But congratulations to the St. Louis Blues, who are Stanley Cup champions for the first. Let me say that again. For the first time in like 52 years. And not, oh, they won 50-something years ago. No. In the history of their franchise, this is the first time they have hoisted Lord Stanley's Cup. And that is just a fantastic thing. Because think about it this way. A lot of people say, well, my team's out, I don't care. It's hard for me to get behind you on that. Well, my team's out, I'm going to cheer for the one who knocked him out. Okay. Or, my team's out, so I would really like this team to win. Or I cheer for an original six. I know a lot of people who do that. I like the classic teams. I tend to like the classic teams when mine are out. But in this scenario, we were going to get a good story either way. Either Boston adds to the trophy case and the legacy and this group of great and a few of the young guys that have really chipped in and helped. We're going to, elevate Boston on another level. Or we were going to get what a lot of people complain about in other sports. Not only did we get a first-time winner of the Stanley Cup, but we got a team that obviously has never been there before. Well, they've probably been to the finals, but has never. They always say, man, it would be nice in this sport if somebody different won. Well, if Boston can't win, and they're kind of a usual suspect, they're always in the mix. The Blues did kind of come out of nowhere. In fact, somewhere in January, they were dead last. So in January, if you were able to dropped some green down in Vegas on that. Good for you. But like I said, it, you know, the consolation to the Bruins not winning this, and Boston fans, I'm not trying to take shots or keep reminding you. The consolation in this is that the Blues are a really good story. There's a lot of young guys, and like I said, a lot of the guys that have never been there before, and now not only have they been there, they've hoisted the cup. So there's a whole new crop of people. And this season in general has been one of the best NHL seasons. And I know people say that each and every year. I'm probably one of them. But here to me is one of the best selling points on why this season was so great about just hockey in general. So many people who don't regularly watch or may have watched or attended games. I know my brother's girlfriend is one of them. She had been to a Gladiator game before, but it had been a while. All of a sudden, she's telling her friends, and they're telling their friends. And, you know, people are hitting us up through the show saying, hey, when's the next this game? When's the next that game? Hey, when did the playoffs start? These kinds of things. Sure, you could easily look that up on the phone, but no, they're reaching out to other people that they knew were big fans or that kept up, or both. All these new people, all these new faces and fresh set of eyes were able to check the game of hockey, and we added more to the fan base here. There's a lot of people, a lot of new fans I know of, that they were like, well, I don't know which team I like the best. Is it okay if I like Boston? Sure. Is it okay if I become a Blues fan because they won? Is that cheap? Does that make me a bad fan? No, not in hockey. Other people may look down on you, but not hockey. No, pick whoever you want. In fact, you don't even have to pick anybody. If you just like watching great hockey, NHL, ECHL, AHL, Canadian League, German leagues, Russian leagues, any of it you can get a hold of. We got, let's see, what, next year will be the Winter Olympics, maybe? Not, it's the World Championship. I always get it confused. But every 2 years, you get a great world tournament like this. And like I said, how great is it that we had the group of veteran team of Boston against the new, fresh face of St. Louis? It's just been a great overall year. And like I said, Boston fans, I know you guys are disappointed. You guys thought you really had it. You had the game at home. But if anything, this season, especially this Stanley Cup playoff tournament in general, we learned that on any given night, no matter where the game is, home ice advantage is not always the case. A lot of road teams won games this time around. It just shows you, you know, the NFL likes to say, well, parity is alive and thriving. And is it? Because last time I checked, the New England Patriots keep winning championships. They're pretty much in it every year, and nobody is trying to copy them. So you can't tell me that parity is in the NFL because they're not copying the team that's winning. In baseball, sure, everybody's trying to be Billy Bean in Oakland. In basketball, here's another thing. You can try to say the only version of parody, as I use air quotes, that you can say about the NBA is everybody trying to use three stars. But Golden State wasn't the first to do that, so you can't say that they're trying to copy them. Now, the three-star rule, I mean, that goes back to probably the 50s or 60s. I think Boston did that. So there's no parody in the NBA. The entire season, just absolutely fantastic. Once again, condolences to Bruins fans, but at the end of the day, you also got to look across the ice and realize at least it was a good group of guys that won. And St. Louis is getting to do for the first time what you guys have done many, many times. And trust me, the Bruins will be back possibly next year. Char will have a new jaw. Bergeron will probably have a new statue. Carrasco will have a new statue. Why he should have one. But for the great season that it was, now we have to wait. As I said last night, congratulations to the St. Louis Blues on their first Stanley Cup. And then hashtag, is it October yet? Because now we have to wait till like late September for preseason before the season kicks off in October. It's a long wait. We got the draft coming up. Got a couple free agency things here and there. But for the most part, we get the summer break. And as much as the NFL wants to be a season-long, 365-day-a-year thing, I'm kind of glad the NHL is not. It allows us to recoup and regroup and know that each and every game is worth watching. Now, let's move on. Let's talk about the game real quick. We obviously know that Game 6, I believe it's tonight. It's the story in Game 5. They did that with the help of 13 points from Kevin Durant. Officially blew his Achilles about a third of the way into the game. He is no kind of to anybody, to a high-class athlete all the way down to dogs. Doesn't matter who blows their Achilles. That's the 8-month injury minimum. Don't care. Same will come back any sooner. 9 months is the absolute best I've ever seen anybody else rest. What's he going to do at this point? I don't know. He has many, many options. Definitely get into, definitely talk about in the next week. Opt into the last year of his deal. If you want to win Golden State, sign a Supermax deal with Golden State. Get a Supermax deal with any he can still play on Pluto. But at this point, he's injured. He's going to miss the season. Not much more about it. Until we get past this series where he can actually decide what he's going to do. But this series, you know how impactful this NBA season has been? You don't want to watch as much. I enjoy it. I appreciate it. But it's usually not the level of what I actually want to do. Absolutely not. Steph Curry has not always played up to 100%, but he scores when he needs to. But he's also proven that when he scores 40-plus points, Kevin Durant, somebody else to step up, then it's for nothing. The Raptors, they deserve it. This was the year if you were to take out Golden State. Seems like they're taken out. And once again, we get a first-time team, usually not in the mix all. So, once again, it seems like in the NBA and the NHL Finals, we're going to get these first-year teams. It's going to be great. We finally get to see fresh faces. So, maybe, I mean, I'm not going to do something like, you know, putting out a headline the game before, like this newspaper did, but, I'm going to go ahead and call it and just say congratulations to the you guys earned it. You guys are the better team even when Kevin Durant plays. That's what bugs me. Kevin Durant is the best player in the NBA. I don't care if LeBron's healthy or not. He is the best player. He's the best player on this team. He's not the whole team. Draymond Green without Steph Curry, without all their guys, they play team ball. Steph Curry, they're probably the two best shooters in the league. Pure shooters can shoot from anywhere on the floor, and probably with the best clothes to make it. But they don't rely on two guys to score. They rely on the coach to get this ball. Because nobody else is doing that. Atlanta's kind of in the process of doing something like that, but they're still probably two good pieces away from doing anything like that. Klay Thompson, Supermax, come play in Atlanta. Trae Young would love to play. But, you know, NBA is good this year. There hasn't been a lot of dumb things. There wasn't any big controversies outside of a couple injuries here and there, but they didn't affect, even if Kevin Durant was playing right now, it wouldn't affect this series. It'd still go the direction it's going. It's just the way it was going to play out. So, once again, be happy that the Blues won. Be happy that the Raptors are more than likely going to. We don't very often get to see people that usually aren't in the mix win. These two teams are doing that. They're showing that you can't. There is more than one way to get to the end of Candyland. It's like chutes and ladders. You don't always have to take the same chute or the same ladder to get to the end. NFL stuff. The Jets have finally decided who their general manager is going to be. It is Joe Douglas from Philadelphia. They apparently heavily recruited him. He kept passing on their offers, and they just kept pretty much doubling and just adding to it and gave him apparently a really, really good deal. So he finally said, okay. From what they say out of Philly, from people I know out that way, he's a good front office guy. Now, what's he going to do with the Jets? I don't know. The Jets are one of those teams that it's definitely not going to hurt my feelings if suddenly they put it together and won 6 or 7 games. They're not going to beat the Patriots this year. They're not going to overtake them. It's not that year. Buffalo's not going to either. And for anybody who thinks Miami is, I don't know if combined they'll have as many wins as New England. I'll go ahead and put that out there. But the Jets are the team that are the most interesting. Buffalo stays in that middle gray area all the time. Miami's been a complete reboot almost, so we have no idea where they might be. But the Jets are that team. They've got Sam Darnold, great quarterback. They've got a decent line. They've added some people here and there. They're still at the early stages of the reboot, but they can win some games. Having a third and fourth place schedule, that helps. Knowing that you get to play some of the bottom teams too, hey, somebody has to win these games. Well, I guess not. We have these ties now, but at some point you're going to win more than you're going to tie. The Jets could potentially be a dumpster fire, but I don't think they are. Like I said, I think they're going to win at least 5 or 6, maybe 7 games. 7 may be topping out. I'm not sure what the over-under is. Don't really care what it is. But the Jets could be fun. We'll see what Douglas does here. He said it's not too late in the year to do roster turnover. It's definitely. You have a 90-man roster right now. Over half of them will be unemployed by the end of summer. So we'll see what he's got in mind. Matt LaFleur, the head coach, is going to coach from kind of the bench sideline a lot to start the season because, well, he tore his Achilles in a pickup basketball game. And before you say, why is the head coach of an NFL team playing basketball? Hey, he's human. It's like suddenly you become the president of the company you work for, and you can't go jogging, can't go eat, go have your wings with the guys anymore. He's human. He's out. He's playing. He's being recreational. Be glad he's still physically active. He doesn't just sit around and eat donuts all day. He's out there having fun with the guys, and he gets hurt. Things happen. Ask any NFL player. Ask any professional athlete. Ask any human. Dumb things happen sometimes. This happened to happen. It's just not going to derail him all that much. He's still going to coach. Still get to see what he's going to implement. And nobody in Green Bay has a problem with it, so neither should you. Navarro Bowman has decided to retire. We kind of saw this comment in the recent, last few years. Played for the 49ers, was really, really good. Had some injuries kind of ding him up here and there. But overall, great player. I'm not going to get in the debate because I'm gonna make this statement too. I'm not going to get in the debate about is he a Hall of Famer or not. Hey, here's an idea. First of all, he just retired. Second of all, if there's still a player currently playing, you're not going to get my opinion on if I think he's a Hall of Famer or not. Because to be in the Hall of Fame, you have to A, been playing, and B, be out for 4 or 5 years. So at least 3 years after you're gone, before I'm even going to start weighing in. I don't care if it's the no-brainer. You're just not going to get that from me because it's what's ruining the NBA to me. Instead of worrying about what games are on now or what games are coming up, all anybody can talk about is where the top 4 players are going to go next season. Who cares about next season? We should be watching this season. And, you know, people do this with TV shows. They say, man, we're three episodes from the end of Game of Thrones was one. Gosh, I can't wait to see what happens next season. Well, you just said there's three in this one. Don't you think you should watch those before you worry about what's going to happen later? I mean, folks, it's just, why are we talking Hall of Fame with current people and people who just retired? We've got a long time to figure that out. In fact, there's a pretty good chance Navarro Bowman will go in the 49ers Ring of Honor before he becomes a Hall of Famer. Probably because it's been 3 years. But great player. Really did some great things on the Harbaugh team and a lot of the other ones out there. And just YouTube Navarro Bowman. There's going to be some just wicked play by him. The Panthers signed Gerald McCoy. And didn't think that was going to happen at all. He left Tampa. I thought for sure he would go to Baltimore. I thought for sure he was going to go to a team he thought could really compete for a ring. It was something he never got the chance to do as a Buccaneer. Shocker on that one. But they said Cam Newton was one of the main recruiters for him to the Panthers. Now, what could Cam Newton, a quarterback, one of the better ones, a quarterback, possibly say to Gerald McCoy that would make him want to play in Carolina over Baltimore? I mean, did he say, hey, you want to win slightly a couple more games than he did in Tampa, but really never be in it? Come be a Panther. We deal with the same storms they did in Tampa, just on instead of being in the Gulf, they're on the Atlantic. Hey, you're still in the same division. I don't know what he could have possibly told him. I don't think it was Cam Newton. I think it was Ron Rivera. He's the defensive guy who's like, hey, you're the missing cog in this wheel here. They still need more cogs than that, but they can at least get the locomotive going at this point. But NFC South, look out, because he stayed in the division. Let's see. Baseball, Andrew McCutchen tore his ACL. Another blow to the Phillies. That's unfortunate because I think he was going to be key to getting Harper up and going. He was going to maybe be able to be moved around the lineup. Give him a little bit of protection here and there. And Kutch is just overall great ambassador for the game. So it just sucks is what it is. The Andy Ruiz Jr. beating Anthony Joshua by TKO in the seventh. He ended up winning the IBF, WBA, and WBO heavyweight title in the process. He was supposed to be a beater guy. For the pro wrestling fans of the world, he's a jobber. He was signed as the second replacement. When the original guy got hurt, the second guy didn't want to fight, and he was just probably sitting around eating a hot dog. And they're like, you want to fight? Yeah, why not? In fact, after he won, he said, well, I guess I'll get in shape now. But he just come out and gave Anthony Joshua everything he had, gave him counterculture almost, the counter strategy that he wasn't expecting. And honestly, the third or fourth round, Anthony Joshua did not want to fight this guy anymore. And he's not afraid of him, and he's not giving up, nothing like that. But no, you can tell. Boxers, fighters, you can tell when they're just like, A, I'm not going to win this, and B, this is not fun at all. And so, you know, he got knocked down to seventh. Anthony Joshua did. Referee asked him, hey, you still with us? Hey, you still, you know, he's talking to him. You still want to fight? And him, Joshua didn't answer him. He kept purposely avoiding eye contact. Yeah, you do that. The referee gives you a handful of seconds, and then he calls it. And I think he was going to call it anyway. But he gave him the chance. He clicked. Andy Ruiz Jr. is the new heavyweight champ. Congratulations, champ. Maybe you'll win a couple more of these. That'd be great. It's showing. And all you need is a chip and a chair, so to say. Or like Mike Tyson famously said, everybody has a strategy to get punched in the mouth. Anthony Joshua got punched in the mouth by Ruiz Jr. He didn't like it. But congratulations on that. Didn't get a chance to congratulate Liverpool, who won the Champions League 2-0 over Tottenham. It was a fantastic game. I was able to watch that one. I told you guys that one was interesting because you had a West Ham fan and myself. You had John Watts, who's here to tag me. We watched it together. And he's actually a pretty big soccer fan. But he's the man who watched Liverpool and Tottenham. The Chelsea 4-1 over Arsenal for the but another fantastic win there. Neither one of our teams win that one either. But it just shows you that the EPL is still the dominant league. It is still the most high. MLS is rising. I mean, they're a ways away. So Champions League, it was early handball. Mo Salah, best player on the planet. And for everybody who says with Tottenham, how in the world do you have Harry Kane because A, you pay him a crap ton to star, and B, it's the big absolutely play your star. Do we need to go back to the NBA and talk about Kevin Durant? We didn't need to play again the rest of this year. But you want your biggest, baddest star in there, whether your eyes pay it or not. That's, and you, 100 times out of 100, he didn't work out. And it wasn't because of him, everything he had. Two other baseball notes, sorry. Brian Dallas Keuchel and Craig Campbell signed with the Cubs. I think they're two great picks, the two great ball clubs. For everybody who says Atlanta should have signed Campbell too, Campbell wanted at least a 3-year deal. He wanted pretty good money. That was the problem. The money wasn't. The 3-year deal, I think, was a little bit of a hang-up, and he's not the pitcher he was. And I'm not saying completely fell off. No, it's one of those. There was enough to where they didn't want to bring him in. Cubs get this awful closer. No. He's still going to close a lot of games and help the Cubs. But they need to address pitching in order to help their bullpen. So Dallas Keuchel is going to do a lot of good in Atlanta. Craig Kimbrell is going to do a lot of good things in Chicago. I have no problem with either one of those. You do those 100 times out of 100. Lastly, the kind of elephant in the proverbial sports world, and that, of course, is the Women's World Cup, where in the opening game on Tuesday, or the opening game for the Thailand and the United States won 13-0. You're talking about number two ranked team in the U.S. against in this 30-team tournament, probably the 30th best team in Thailand. I'm not saying they're terrible. They're just the U.S. was highly favored. 13-0. I don't have a problem with 13-0 because goal differential factors into this tournament. So you can't get mad when they run the score up, and they didn't do it. No, because in soccer, you only get three substitutions. So sometimes you have to leave your super, super good players in. You can't put in somebody who's never played on this stage before because you don't have all the substitutions if you do in any other sport. And to start with, the fact that they celebrated the way they did after all 13 goals, I thought I had an issue with it. But actually, given a little bit of time, and I've thought about it, and I've talked to other people about it, I don't have a problem at all. Because, first of all, we're the big bad U.S. Sometimes we're called bullies. Sometimes we're called the pirates. No matter what happens, the U.S. is going to catch crap and everybody talk a bunch of stuff because of it. If we lost the game, whether it was 13-0, whether it was 1-0, didn't matter. If we lost the game, oh, look at the mighty giant has fallen. They come in unprepared. They weren't ready, and they got demolished. Okay, that's fair. That tends to happen on the world stage in pretty much every sport, including the Olympics. But since we won 13-0, I like what Nick Wright said. Nick said, he said it on the Herd with Colin Cowherd, but he said, it's funny to him how people are pretending to actually have a problem with this when you know good and well you either don't care or don't have a problem with this whatsoever. Some of the girls, yeah, this is all the hard work that comes down to this. So you want to celebrate? Sure, go for it. Was there an over-celebration? I don't think so. Alex Morgan scored 5 goals. Set a record. They had a 4-4 record. I believe they achieved all the records they were trying to have. But if you ask me, do I have a problem with the U.S. women's soccer team, or football team, actually, with the women's team scoring goals? No. Do I have a problem with celebrating the way they did? No. I don't. And I'm not going to tell you I should or shouldn't have a problem with it. I'm just going to tell you don't have a problem with it. Well, you are super excited, United States citizen, just a member of this country. You are super stoked that we just crushed somebody in the opening. Everybody else on notice. Every you want to play with the U.S., there's a chance. There's a chance in their next game they will play another federally ranked team. Who knows? I guess we'll just have to see what happens. But that's going to do it for us here on Sports Club, Board Check, Misdirection. And anybody who understands that quote will probably put it in tonight. It's just how things are done. The shiny object over here, think of a magician. Think of the shiny object over here as I do these other things on ta-da, the elephant disappears. That's what all these sports leagues are doing, too. And they're not to deceive you or nothing like that. But here we are, a free agency in the NBA, Grant's injury, and we should be talking about the Raptors having one of the best seasons in the NBA. Misdirection. We're talking about Craig Kimbrell not being a Brave instead of Dallas Keuchel being one. You know? But I want to give a special shout-out. I want to know what I'm digging lately. I dig it all the time, honestly. I try to stop by as much as I can. Out here in the Studio West, Impact Media Studios, out here Studio West, not far from here is a place in Bremen, Georgia, called the Buttered Udder. It is serve absolutely delicious coffee and out-of-this-world hand-spun ice cream. Mike, Kevin, and Jim do an unbelievably great job, and all the rest of the staff. But they do an absolutely incredible job. They are Bruins fans, so help them drown their sorrows by eating some delicious ice cream. And like I said, their coffee is just rocks your socks off. I stop by as much as I can, and if you can't make it all the way out here to Bremen, Georgia, down the road from here. If you are in the Mirror Lake area out towards Douglasville, Villarica area out here in Georgia, just right off the exit, right there next to the near the Publix is a Sprinkles Bakery and Donuts. They do pastries and stuff like that. They feature a handful of flavors of ice cream from the Buttered Udder. So if you can't make it all the way out here, you find yourself out that way, stop by there and try some of their delicious ice cream. It is just fantastic. But I wanted to give a special shout out to them. Who knows? Maybe we'll have them on the show sometime, talk some ice cream, talk some Boston sports. I know they will have plenty of cool things to say about all that. But I am Jeremy the Impact York. Thanks for tuning in to Sport Club Board Check, Misdirection Stan. We will see you guys next week. Go watch hockey. We'll be right back.
These guys are warriors.
Was that not clear without the bam? Yeah, okay. Bam! What?